el hombre más poderoso del mundo renunció, claro, Félix tiene razón, no le quedaba otro camino. Pero hay algo curioso. Nos va a atender tal vez la mujer con la que podemos recordar lo que pasó hace 50 años. Se llama Elizabeth Holzman. Hoy es una señora mayor, en su momento era congresista, estaba en el Comité Judicial del Congreso de los Estados Unidos cuando el establecimiento se estremeció. Elizabeth fue la mujer más joven elegida al Congreso de los Estados Unidos en 1972. Es de Nueva York y es una jurista de primer nivel. Lideró esfuerzos para llevar a los criminales de guerra nazi a los tribunales. Fue fiscal de Brooklyn. Fue contralora de Nueva York. Hace poco intentó regresar al Congreso, en 1922. Mrs. Holzman, good morning.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
50 years ago, how was the situation in the Congress?
Well, what happened in Congress is several weeks beforehand, 50 years ago, the House Judiciary Committee, I was a member, voted for three articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon. It was done on a bipartisan basis. It was done in a very fair way. And it had won huge approval from the people of the United States because of the fairness and the bipartisan nature of the action. Shortly afterwards, the Supreme Court of the United States ordered that Richard Nixon release private White House tape recordings that he had made in the Oval Office. And those tape recordings were released, and they showed that Richard Nixon had not just participated in, but had directed the cover-up of the Watergate burglary from the very beginning. That meant that all the Republicans who had not voted for impeachment, most Republicans in the committee did not vote for impeachment, all of those Republicans, after that tape came out, said that they supported impeachment and that Richard Nixon deserved to be impeached. Now we have a unanimous House Judiciary Committee supporting impeachment. So when Nixon resigned, it was clear that he was resigning because there was no support for him in the Congress. He would have been impeached by the House of Representatives, and he would have been removed by the Senate of the United States. He wanted to avoid that indignity, and so he resigned. And maybe there was a little help from Gerald Ford in terms of a pardon, which was issued a month later.
Pues nos dice Julio que en el Congreso, unas semanas antes de la renuncia, se estaba discutiendo en el Comité de Justicia Judicial de los Estados Unidos tres artículos de impeachment contra Richard Nixon. Digamos que era una investigación bipartidista que tenía una aprobación máxima en los Estados Unidos. Después, la Corte Suprema de los Estados Unidos le pidió a Richard Nixon que liberara unas grabaciones de la Oficina Oval, y esas grabaciones mostraron que Richard Nixon no solo participó, sino que dirigió el encubrimiento de Watergate desde el comienzo. Entonces, los republicanos que no estaban apoyando el impeachment, que eran la mayoría de ellos, después de que se liberó esta grabación, empezaron a apoyar el proceso de impeachment, así que este comité apoyó de manera bipartidista a favor del impeachment, así que eso no dejó otra salida para Nixon que renunciar, porque pues ya había un apoyo mayoritario en el Congreso que iba a llevar a que el Senado de Estados Unidos lo expulsara. Así que por eso renunció, porque quería evitar, digamos, esa vergüenza de ser sacado de la presidencia, y luego recibió una ayuda por parte de Gerald Ford meses después, quien le dio un perdón.
Sí, pero y usó la palabra dignidad, ¿no?
Sí, quería evitarse esa situación y afectar su dignidad.
Y afectar su dignidad. Mrs. Holzman, hay un artículo en el Wall Street Journal que viene de un libro y que lo publica la página de opinión del Wall Street Journal, donde el autor dice que Nixon nunca debió renunciar. Esa persona se llama Kenneth Kashigian y eso está en un libro. Él era asesor de Ronald Reagan y asesor. Era un hombre que escribía discursos muy cercano a Richard Nixon. Mrs. Holtzman, Kenneth Kachigian has an editorial on the Wall Street Journal, and he said Nixon shouldn't have resigned. I argue in August 1974 that the president should stay and fight. History has vindicated my view. Do you agree with him?
That's nonsense. It's beyond stupid. It's not only wrong, it's stupid. Every single member of the House Judiciary Committee voted to supported impeachment. Every Republican, every Democrat. If the House had acted, if Nixon had stayed to fight, he would have been impeached, maybe unanimously, but maybe with a 5 or 6 votes in his favor in the House of Representatives out of 435 votes. In the Senate, he was told there were no votes. Maybe there would be 3 or 4 people supporting him in the Senate. He would have been forcibly removed from office. There was no dispute about the facts because there were tape recordings of the president in which he, in his own voice, ordered the CIA, the FBI investigation. He told his top aide to call the deputy director of the CIA and tell him that Nixon personally, wanted the FBI investigation into Watergate stopped. Part and essence of the cover-up. That's a fact you cannot hide. 50 years cannot erase. The tapes are historical. They're available for anybody in the world to listen to. But not only did we have evidence of Nixon's participation in the cover-up, we had evidence that Nixon participated in dozens of other abuses of power, criminal conduct, and other misdeeds in office. For example, he condoned the break-in into the medical office of Ellsberg psychiatrist in order to get evidence to smear him. Ellsberg was the man who stole the Pentagon Papers. This is not legal. This was entirely outside of the law. Then he ordered illegal wiretaps of journalists and staff members of that White House. Then he ordered, for example, IRS to audit the tax returns of people who opposed him politically. All of these things and many other things were, if not criminal, clear abuses of power. And the American people supported it. And aside from this man or person, woman who doesn't know what he or she is talking about, the facts were clear to the American people. And impeachment has stood as the high water mark of presidential accountability. In fact, if Nixon had stayed in office and fought the impeachment, the Republicans would have had no one reelected to Congress. As it was, the Republicans lost many, many seats in the midterm elections that November. The resignation was in August, so that November there were going to be midterm elections. If Nixon had stayed and fought, virtually no Republicans would have been reelected in the midterm elections. So this is very important for the Republican Party. Whoever said that, it just...
Pues nos dice la invitada que no tiene ningún tipo de sustento esa afirmación de que no debió haber renunciado, no tiene ningún tipo de sentido, le parece estúpido, no solo es incorrecto, sino que además de eso, lo que asegura es estúpido porque nos dice que había un apoyo abrumador a este proceso de impeachment en el Congreso por todo esta oficina judicial o este comité judicial del Congreso que votó de manera bipartidista para apoyar este proceso de impeachment. nos dice que en el Congreso no había sino 5 o 6 votos a favor de Richard Nixon, y nos dice que en el Senado no habían más de 3 personas que estuvieran a favor de él, así que estaba forzado a irse porque lo iban a sacar del cargo, lo iban a hacer salir de la presidencia, así que los hechos para ella no se pueden disputar, no se pueden refutar. Estas grabaciones del presidente Nixon en el que con su voz ordena a la CIA que el FBI pare esa investigación de Watergate, pues es, digamos, bastante clara y no se puede esconder, así que 50 años de historia para ella no se pueden borrar, son grabaciones históricas que están ahí disponibles para todo el mundo, es evidencia de la participación en ese encubrimiento, pero nos dice que son decenas de otros hechos los que llevó a cabo Nixon, porque realizó claros abusos de poder en muchas otras cosas, grabando ilegalmente a periodistas, a miembros de la Casa Blanca, y cometió otros hechos fuera de la ley. Entonces nos dice que si no son actos criminales, al menos incurrió en un abuso de poder, así que los estadounidenses estaban apoyando que Richard Nixon se saliera de la presidencia, así que la persona que hizo esa afirmación no sabe lo que habla, los hechos son bastante claros, es muy importante y un antecedente importantísimo porque se responsabilizó a un presidente por sus actos, y pues nos dice que nadie en los Estados Unidos quería que él se quedara en el cargo, y si los republicanos no hubiesen votado a favor, ninguno hubiera sido reelecto en las elecciones de noviembre. Esto ocurrió en agosto y había elecciones en noviembre, y los republicanos no hubieran sido reelegidos para ninguna silla en el Congreso, así que nos dice que fue muy importante también para los republicanos.
Señora Holzman, la decisión del presidente Gerald Ford de otorgarle un indulto a Nixon en ese momento generó gran controversia. ¿Usted qué cree que pasaría hoy? ¿Qué impacto cree que tuvo en la confianza del público en el gobierno?
Yes, Ms. Holzman, in that moment when President Gerald Ford's decision to grant Nixon a full pardon, it was highly controversial. How do you view that this decision would be taken today in regards to what the public would do and how they would trust the government or not?
Well, the American people reacted in a very negative way to the pardon because the pardon was unpardonable. It was an unpardonable pardon because in a system of justice, everyone, whether they're the president of the United States or a beggar on the street, you know, an ordinary person or a very powerful person, the system of justice has to work for everybody in the same way. We can't have a dual system of justice, one for the rich and the powerful and another for everyone else. And Gerald Ford lost his election, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many other people, because he issued this pardon to Nixon. It was very unpopular. The process should have been allowed to go forward. We don't know what would have happened. The prosecutor, we know the grand jury wanted to indict Richard Nixon, had been stopped by the special prosecutor, but we don't know whether in the end the prosecutor would have decided to bring charges to the grand jury, whether the grand jury would have voted, whether he would have been convicted at trial. But that was never allowed to happen, and he was pardoned for everything, and he was never required to acknowledge his guilt, to express remorse. And he never did.
Pues nos dice que los estadounidenses reaccionaron de una manera negativa a ese perdón, porque lo que hizo no tiene ningún tipo de perdón. El sistema de justicia de los Estados Unidos debe funcionar para todos, ya sea un presidente de los Estados Unidos o una persona a la calle, una persona ordinaria o una persona absolutamente poderosa. Nos dice que el sistema judicial debe funcionar igual para todos, tanto ricos y poderosos como otro tipo de personas, y no se pueden diferenciar a unos de otros. Nos dice que Gerald perdió la elección precisamente por este perdón a Nixon, y por eso fue bastante impopular. Entonces nos dice que el proceso judicial en su contra debió seguir, el jurado debió, si así lo consideraba, acusar a Nixon. No sabemos si el fiscal iba a llevar estos cargos en frente de los jurados y qué iba a votar el jurado, pero se debió haber llevado a cabo este juicio y que pues la justicia estadounidense fuera la que decidiera sobre su futuro. Eso no se permitió. Nos dice que no se tuvo esa posibilidad de que Nixon diera sus argumentos, expresara algún tipo de culpa o remordimiento.
La Corte Suprema de los Estados Unidos acaba de ampliar el concepto de inmunidad presidencial. Y muchos consideran que con eso que ha hecho la Corte, incluso alguien como Nixon se pudo salvar. Quiero preguntarle si ella piensa así y qué piensa de la decisión de la Corte.
Ms. Holtzman, the U.S. Supreme Court just now, they gave a presidential immunity. And there are some who say that Nixon could have been saved by this presidential immunity. What do you think? And what do you think if Nixon would have been saved by it? And what do you think about this decision?
Well, I think the decision by the Supreme Court was abhorrent. It was wrong, in my opinion. Having studied the Constitution for a very long time, and particularly the issue of presidential powers and abuse of powers, the Supreme Court decided this out of the thin air. Its decision was intended to protect dictators and tyrannical presidents. The decision was not intended to, nor is it consistent with democracy. A president, when the Constitution was created, the framers of the Constitution, the writers of the Constitution, did not want a monarchy. That is why they created impeachment powers. They never said this is only for personal conduct, not official conduct. Impeachment was for high crimes and misdemeanors, which meant crimes against the government itself, crimes that deprive people of their liberties. So the decision was very bad. Would it have exonerated Nixon? Yeah. It's possible. It's very possible. Everybody thought, up to the time of this Supreme Court decision, that a president who committed crimes in office could be prosecuted for them.
Okay, one moment. We are going to very, very quick translation. Stand by for the Olympics. Colombia, it's possible, very close to win a medal. Adelante, Grace, ¿qué dijo?
Bueno, nos dice que esta decisión de la Corte Suprema estuvo mal. Ella ha estudiado muchísimo la Constitución. Durante mucho tiempo se ha dedicado a estudiar sobre todo este poder presidencial, y nos dice que la Corte Suprema no tuvo ningún tipo de base para decidir esto. Entonces la decisión pues no la comparte. Nos dice que precisamente se creó este proceso de impeachment para juzgar este tipo de conductas. No se quería una monarquía, así que nos dice que es muy importante el impeachment cubra ciertos crímenes contra el gobierno en sí mismo, y por eso esta decisión de la Corte Suprema no la comparte, porque hubiera sido posible que se exonerara teniendo esta medida.
Frase del expresidente Trump y el nominado republicano de que si él pudiera ser dictador por un día haría que todos los problemas del país desaparecieran. ¿Qué piensa de esa frase?
Ms. Holzman, what do you think about the phrase that Donald Trump said in these days where he thought, or he says, that once he's elected that all the problems from the U.S. are going to disappear? What's your opinion on that?
Well, he also said on day one he would be a dictator. I think both statements are dangerous. They're wrong. America doesn't need a dictator. There's no one person who can fix anything. The people who wrote our Constitution understood that not one person can solve the problems of America. That's why we have a Congress, a House, and a Senate. That's why we have a court. We don't have just a dictator. We don't have just a king. We have a system of government. And it's worked for over 200 years, but this Supreme Court and Donald Trump are taking big steps to undo our democracy.
Mrs. Holzman, thank you very much for your time, and remember with us what did happen 50 years ago.
Thank you.
Thank you.